All right, this is Sunday morning, 2:24. I was just talking about we need to act like what we sing and what we say, we need to act like it. Quit acting like somebody says, well, who died? Well, Jesus died. That's good news. But we're acting like, you know, something. We're not acting like we're singing. We're not acting like Jesus is alive. We're acting like we're down and out. I've said a couple times this week, Lord, do you think I'm a punching bag? And I just realized yesterday, it's like the Lord said, well, he can rise up anytime you want and kick the devil out of stuff. Why haven't you done it? You just put up with and put up with and put up with. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the devil. No, not today. I'm not going there today. The funeral's over. Go on about your business. We do have authority. And we don't have to have a rhema to use our authority. You just know by nature how to use that authority. You know that's true in the natural. Well, it's just as true in the spiritual. We need to quit playing the victim and dragging around like an old sorry sack of bones. I'm telling you. You need to be acting like you got the victory instead of just thinking, well, it's out there somewhere, somewhere out there. That's another song. No, that's not the song we sing. We sing now, reality. We make it happen. We're not just waiting, someday it'll come, someday my ship will come in. Well, no, it probably won't with that attitude. Well, we got a helper. His name is the Holy Ghost. And he's not going to be down there boo-hooing with you. He's going to be telling you, stand up, rise up. Do what you know to do. Do what you've been trained to do. Y'all have no excuse. Me either. Now, there's a lot of folk don't have an excuse. They do have excuses because they haven't been taught what you've been taught. But there's a reason you're being taught these things is so you can apply them to your life and then apply it to the lives of others. Do you think somebody's going to think, if Jesus drug around and saying, well, I'm sorry, I'd heal you, but, you know, I've just had a tough week. You know, I'm sorry. You'll have to find somebody else. No, that's not the way Jesus acted. He went about doing good and healing. He wasn't focusing on his troubles. And I tell you what, if you think the devil didn't bother him, think again. He was a man, flesh and blood, and he walked just like you walk. But he went about doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil. He put aside anything that might bother him. I figure he had fussing and fighting going on around him all the time with them disciples he had. Doubting Thomas. Peter denied him 3 times. Peter was jealous of John. Hey, they were people. They were just the everyday type of people that you live with every day. And Jesus just looked past it and said, we're going over there. Let's go the other side. And wherever he saw, where the Father was directing him, he took care of the problem. It didn't mean he didn't have any of his own. He had the Pharisees on his back everywhere he went. They stirred up the devil against him everywhere he went. As he was in this world, so are we. We tend to think, no, he was the Son of God and nothing ever touched him. That is the most stupid, asinine thinking I've ever heard in my life. But a lot of the church believe that way. Well, that was Jesus. They don't realize he put aside who he was as God and he walked as a man like you and me. And he did it well. He did it sinless. And he made a difference everywhere he went. There's a reason that he asked them to pray in the garden whenever he was sweating drops of blood because he was such under stress. That alone probably could have killed him right there. He asked them to pray, but they couldn't. They're sleepy. Now you tell me, if he's the Son of God, he didn't suffer anything, he didn't feel anything. That is so not true. He took our place and showed us how we can walk in victory, follow the Spirit. He didn't promise the rose garden. He said, you're going to have persecution. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But he says, if I've overcome the world, so have you. So we need to quit acting like we just, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I'm not going to have it anymore on Sundays. We're gonna do upbeat stuff. Now, I'm not saying don't be led by the Spirit, but especially when we're going through hard times, we don't need anything other than being a victory fight song. That's the way I feel today. Like, I'm tired of the devil kicking my butt. How about you? And now I'm not saying anything about your songs. Your songs are fine. I am just saying we need to act like we believe we are. Not just talk it. Because nobody cares about your talking. They want to see your walking. Who was it that said to you, you're the only guy that you've ever known that actually walked it? Somebody said that about you? Yeah, he said, he's the only guy I know that ever walked this faith instead of just talking it. Well, what has talk got us? Look at the Truther movement. They can't talk to quit devouring each other. I'm just, not all of them, there's a few good ones, but I'm just going. That's why we shine as bright stars. We are above the rest, like a beacon on a hill. We're the light of the world. We're showing the way. There's a lot of people, they're lost. We've got to show them the way. And if we're dragging around at the funeral home, why, you know, there ain't going to be no... Well, I guess I need to start with what I got here, huh? Well, like I said, I told the Lord, I said, I ain't no punching bag. And he said, well, what do you do on a punching bag? You punch back. Isn't it time? He said, what do you think all this training is about? To teach you to be the one that does the punching instead of always taking the punches. Oh, just roll with the punches. Oh, no, thank you. What about dole out the punches? That sounds better to me. All right. We're going to look at the importance of being filled with the Spirit today. To me, this is top priority. I don't know how Christians that don't have it make it. Well, they don't. Even Christians that do don't, because they do not access this. And I can tell you for sure. Last thing on their list is coming aside and praying in the Spirit after they've called you, everybody, and their dog on the list to pray for them. And if that don't work, if your prayers aren't good enough for them, then they go to the doctor and see what he has to say about it. Is that what the Scripture says to do? No, it says every person is to pull aside his, you know, in secret. The Father sees in secret, reward you openly. That's how he's told us to handle. To me, that's pulling aside and looking inside. All right, some have asked, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit when I was born again? Yes, you did. But this second experience is not for you, it's for enforcement. It is for you, but it is for your enforcement. In other words, God has called you to do something. And so Jesus told the disciples, I don't want you doing anything when he was leaving until you go and you wait for the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he will endue you with power. The power to go into the world and change the world. That's what this second experience is about. All right. And contrary to popular belief, every person that is born again has a spot in the plan of God. Now, if they've wasted their life and they've chosen not to find out what it is, whose fault is that? Most have sought secular avenues and called it God. Well, this is where my talents are. This must be where God wants me. And nothing's further from the truth. A lot of people are expert in natural things, but that's not what God called them to do. What God called them to do is probably just totally different. But you know what? I was 40 years old before I knew I had a call. And really, just 2 or 3 years ago, did I find out what my ultimate call is. And that's all these years of being diligent and studying and praying. And it takes, like I said, people in the world, they will go and they'll get education and they'll spend years getting degrees after their name for credibility and to do whatever they want to do. But they won't give, like President Trump, they didn't give 10 cents. I don't know how many times I've heard him say 10 cents. No country ever gave the U.S. 10 cents. Well, I'm telling you, nobody that I know of, except y'all, will give the Lord 10 minutes. They'll go about their business, and then they'll have their recreation and their entertainment and all of that. And, you know, they start having problems, and you ask them, well, you've been praying. Well, no, I ain't had time. You read your word? No, I don't even know where my Bible is. This is what the Comforter is for. He's the friend that sticks closer than the brother. He's the one that will lead and guide you into all truth. That's your job or your family, your finances, your health, everything that there is. He is an expert on. Who should we be looking to? The financial experts? The health professionals? We find out they've been trying to kill us, not help us. Not all of them, but the Holy Ghost is the best friend you'll ever have, the one that'll never betray you, the one that sticks closer than a brother, knows it all, knows everything about you, stuff that you don't even know about you. You know, it amazes me. We've been spending a lot of time praying in the Spirit lately. And the Lord's been showing me things I didn't know. I'm thinking, wow, I didn't know that. It's who you know, isn't it? Not E.F. Hutton, I know that. It is the Holy Ghost. People will argue with you about, well, no, I don't need that. They'll argue over the tongues thing. Oh, it's of the devil. It's just a lie of the devil, because he knows if you get a hold of this, you're going to be a powerhouse for God, and he is toast. He's the one that becomes the punching bag instead of you. All right. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one came to the Father but through him. I have to say this about Brad Barton. I told Danny about it. He was on PPN, and there was a round table. I think he said there was 10 or so men. And somebody on there started with all that crap about, you know, all the books of the Bible and everything's incomplete and all that junk you hear, all the rhetoric you hear. And he rose up and talked about, you know, the greatest thing we have is the scriptures that we have that God preserved for us to come to know the Lord. And we have enough to make sure that we see it through. I haven't listened to it. I want to go back and listen to it. But I was just so thankful there's a truther that's pure in heart. He doesn't pretend to know a lot, but he's a very humble, just a nice guy, and he stood his ground amidst all these. And you know, it's like everywhere you look on the social news sites, there's always someone spouting that garbage. And I don't disagree that there's been things messed with, yeah. But do I believe this is incomplete? No. There's enough in here to do anything, because Jesus said if they wrote everything down, the books couldn't even be contained. So shouldn't it stand to reason there are books out there that were written by other people that maybe saw Jesus or heard it from grandma or grandpa wrote? There's enough in here. There's enough to find out who you are, get born again, filled with the Spirit. When you get hooked up with the Spirit, there ain't nothing ever hidden from you. I don't care if they took it out. He's the witness. He's the witness that God's real. He's the witness of the life that's coming, eternal life. Help us today, Lord, to realize what we have. To be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that will ever happen in your life. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. The most precious, without price, ever. Ever, ever, ever. These diamonds up here that I'm wearing are nothing compared to that. But they're really nice. Okay, I haven't got to the first scripture yet. All right, Luke 2. Even Jesus, before he started his ministry, had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He had to have power from on high. All these people that say, oh, there's books out there. Jesus was a Buddhist. He traveled all through these nations and did all this stuff. And when he was a kid, he did all this stuff. No, he didn't. I'm telling you, people would rather believe a fantasy than they would the truth. All right. Luke 2. You can tell all that praying's paying off, can't you? Thank you, Lord. 2:41. All right. Starting with 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances, probably among the Buddhists at that time. Anyway, I was like, where do you get this stuff? And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? I wist not ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, even his own parents, knowing who he was. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So as a child, even though he had the things of God stirring in him and he was yearning to learn about his father and all that stuff, he was still too little. He had to be trained. He didn't come out of the mother's womb preaching. He had to be trained. He had to mature. They don't consider them grown Israelites till they're 30, an adult. All right. He was like any other child. Think about that. He was like any silly, little, happy-go-lucky little kid. Except he was interested in the things of God. They piqued his interest. You start to see the bents in his life. of what God is calling him to do. All right, go to 3 now. Luke 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, well, I guess that's right, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. See, he's preparing the way of the Lord. He's getting things ready for the coming of the Lord. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. This is a call to repentance. This is where we sit right now in our nation, a call to repentance. What does repentance mean? Change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, all, I need baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Just imagine that lives on the inside of us. How powerful. What lives inside of us? It's just incredible. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things to his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother, Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added just this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. So, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, now go to chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Things are fixing to change. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If he was really, like people think, well, he was the Son of God, he could do anything, he was sinless, he didn't have, you know, any problems, then he wouldn't have had to have been tempted by the devil, would he? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Do you think Jesus could have been tempted? Then why would he be the tempter come? He could have been tempted. He could have missed it. He was a man. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So it says the Spirit is upon me to do these things. So he was anointed for ministry. After he matured, after he was subject to his parents and came of age, after he went through his temptation in the wilderness, just like we are. All right, he was empowered for ministry. He didn't just go do it on his own. And Jesus, several times, points out that it wasn't him doing the works. This is John chapter 12. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So in his ministry, he didn't operate independently. He heard from the Lord. The Holy Ghost, I had this yesterday. The Holy Ghost is the command center in our born-again spirits. He communicates directly with Jesus and the Father. God has a plan for your life, and you will never know it unless you follow God's protocol. You know, people, well, let me just, this is the rest of this. The Holy Spirit is the tuner to cause you to hear God's voice and connect with God's frequency. We hear a lot about frequencies today, but this is the only frequency that we need to be tuned into. Think a radio. We as humans are on AM and God is on FM. God is speaking constantly on FM, but most humans are tuned to AM. FM is God's plan. AM is man's plan. Man hits the mark occasionally, but God is in the know and he knows everything that concerns you. Paul said this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said this, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What power is he talking about? Holy Ghost power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm telling you what, you're finding out that everyone that you thought was on your side and good and thinking of your best interest, you're finding out they are dirty dogs of the devil. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, even Jesus at that young age, before he was even filled with the Holy Spirit, the elders marveled at a 12-year-old and what he said. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. That tells you they're not as smart as you think they are. If the devil and his minions had known what would happen, they would not have crucified Jesus. It was their demise. The devil always overplays his hand, doesn't he? Isn't that what happened? Yeah, exactly, and that's what's happening now. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See, eye doesn't see that. Ear does not hear that. But in here, you know that. That's what all the praying in the Spirit. Like I told you, you find out things that you, all your life, here I'm 70 years old. I never knew that. Holy Ghost knew it all along. When you tap in to that FM frequency, that's the easiest way I know how to explain it. But God hath revealed them unto us by who? His Spirit. If you're looking for truth and you're seeking it in books or any other means, you're looking in the wrong place. There's not anything. I tried to explain this to one of my granddaughters at one time. She was saying, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I read it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I said, well, if you'll keep reading it, your spirit knows what it means. And it will eventually give you some insight where you will, in your basic knowledge, you'll come to know what the Spirit's saying. And I said, well, just like you went to school to be a nurse, how'd you learn that? Reading books. You renewed your mind. You can get a book out on brain surgery and renew your mind to brain surgery. Isn't that what college is? But that's the carnal mind. Praying in the Spirit. There's not anything that he does not know. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, you talk about, if they took away every book that we have today, any information, if we tapped into the Holy Ghost, you want to know your history? God's our history. He knows everything. They can't take all the stuff away from us. They can't do it, even if they did. They can't take away God's knowledge, the deep things of God within us by the Holy Ghost. Can't take it away from us. And they're stupid to think they could. The only thing they've done is brainwash us at best. But when somebody gets awake to this fact, they're toast. You get enough believers tapped in, doing the within, this walk that's always been within, not without. You can't stop that. You cannot stop them. Because they're going to do just things like Jesus did. Why? Because they're looking from the inside. They're not looking for some power source on the outside, some Tesla energy tower. This is better than Tesla energy on the inside. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? See, he'll help you help somebody else solve their problems. Many things the Lord has given me for people over the years. Many, many things. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. People pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars going to universities to get degrees. And God says, I'll give you everything for free. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we walking around here in a funeral dirge. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We're not looking on the inside when we think that way. We're going totally by what the outside's feeling. Like I said, don't you think Jesus didn't feel it before he went to the cross? Yeah, he felt it. But God's grace put him over. Even though he gave his life, he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. The name above all names. All right, let's keep going here. It was never God's plan to dwell in temples made with hands. Now, probably somebody won't like that statement. Don't care. But his whole plan was to be with his man. He walked with Adam in the garden. And when the fall came, the connection between God and his man was cut off, and he could not. His man that he loved so much he couldn't even communicate with. That's why he sent Jesus. He allowed the sin to pass on to Jesus. God can't look on sin. Man sinned. God couldn't look on sin. So that scapegoat, or whatever you want to call it, the lamb that was slain, he took all the sin. So God could once again have a relationship with his man. But it is not in a temple made with hands. It is by the Holy Spirit. The new birth. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 25. Got quite a few scriptures here. Matthew 27, sorry, 27. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. What happened? God came out of the box. He put up with that until Jesus came. That was never what he wanted. That was the best he could do. By the blood of goats and calves could temporarily cover sin so he could have some relationship with this man. But it wasn't until Jesus came, all the gloves were off and things were restored to the pre-fall state, if you will. Not totally, but somewhat. We have that earnest, you know, earnest money on a house. A little bit. Can't wait for the rest. All right? Mark 5:38 basically says the same thing. I mean, Jesus was proclaiming it when he went to, was walking around, and the Pharisees, the disciples said, "Lord, see this temple and these huge stones and how many years it took to make this." And Jesus said, "I'll throw these stones down and 3 days raise them back up." They thought he meant a real building. He meant the body of Christ. A temple made without hands. This is all an inside walk. I'm not saying we don't go to church in buildings. I'm saying that everything God has with us is inner. And if there's any outer, he gives instructions inside for the outer. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, "Go wait till you're endued with power from on high." And then he had started instructing them. Paul started in his apostolic ministry, going into the Gentile nations, Peter to the Jews. But it was all from here. This is the command center of a Christian. All right. When we stand before God to give an account, he will ask what we did with what he told us to do. It's not up to God to find out. He already knows. It's up to you to find out. And he's not going to give you usually the whole plan. And even if he does, you probably won't understand it. He'll give you the first step of what he wants you to do. All right? Zechariah 4:6 says it's not by power, part of it, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Still the same today. Old covenant, new covenant. God has not changed. He does not change, nor will he ever. All right. To do the works, the Holy Ghost leadership in the flesh is just a waste. To do the commandments of Jesus, just like there's a parable, it's in Matthew 25, where it talks about, he's going to ask some on the left, some on the right, the ones on the left, I ask you to do these things, and they didn't. And so he said, you missed it. The others on the right, they did what he required of them to do. And go read it. It's Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And some will say, "Well, Lord, we did all these mighty things in your name." He said, "I don't know who you are. It wasn't by my sanction, my orders. Who were you listening to?" Humanitarian projects. We hear about that all over the place today. It's all about natural works of men to try to be godly. You can't do it by outward means. That's why I'm not signing up for any of the stupid things. And if they ask me, I'll say, "I'll do what God told me to do." And He leads us to give people cars and things. Isn't that a humanitarian project? I don't need a cent of your money either. Go on with your humanistic self, because that's all that is. That's all that is. It's the work of the flesh. No, I'm hoping for a lot more than that. If that's all we have to look forward to, that isn't any better to me. It's still a work of the flesh. No, God is saying, repent. Change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what's being said today. We're going to have to think differently. All right. So God's going to ask, was that just your thinking or mine? So Jesus did not expect his apostles or his disciples to go forward and do anything until they went, like he instructed them, to the upper room and wait till they were endued with power. All right. This is not a man-powered operation. It's God-powered or no power. So many people could be save themselves from shipwrecks by just that simple fact alone. Waiting and getting it on the inside and then moving out in the right time. I mean, there's a lot of ministries that have been around and they're considered great ministries, but are they of God? I don't know. I guess that's between them and God. Some are, some aren't. I guess the basic thing here is not doing things in the flesh. Anytime you're pressured, you can bet where it's coming from. When you start getting under pressure to do something, that is not the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? Peace makes a call. It's easy to be entreated, the Scripture says. But somebody's coming at you with pressure, 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 pressure. Don't do it. Like I said to you about the people we knew that used to, they bought stuff all the time and did stuff all the time. They made a deal with each other that if they thought they wanted something really bad, they went home and slept on it. And then when they woke up in the morning, how they felt about it. Did they still feel the same? See, that gets the emotions all geared up. And we make mistakes when we do that. So anything that decision we need to make is worth waiting for, at least overnight, to where you can see, am I hearing from God? Or am I just appeasing my flesh because I'm having a bad day or whatever the case may be? We've all been there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Acts chapter 1. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. All right, let's start with verse 1 there. The former he chastised have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he didn't go back without saying, giving them instructions. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. People, you know, have thought about, well, why didn't you stick around more till Pentecost? Well, because he makes the statement, if I stay, the Comforter can't come. So he left 10 days before. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they said, don't leave Jerusalem. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Isn't that the way we are? We want to know all about the future. He said, why don't you take care right now? Why don't I be giving you instructions right now? You're waiting to hear all this out here, and I'm telling you right here, this is what you want to do right now, right now, right now. That's how you walk with God a step at a time. It's usually not the leap of faith. Tell me, it's one step. 10 years later, oh, another step. Thank you. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Let's get back on point, he said. Now, gents, get off of the future and get back on to what I want you to do now. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where there abode both Peter and James and John and Andrews, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Now, I'm not going to read the part about the throwing of lots, because I think that was just a bunch of, I think that was just flesh, actually. He didn't tell them to go replace anybody. They was in there gambling, throwing their lots. Well, you know, when the dice roll, you know, snake eyes, yeah, he's it. Okay, that's what went on. I believe that. They weren't due with power yet. Yeah. All right, that tells about what they did with what happened with Judas. All right, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Have you ever watched these so-called Christian movies where they try to mimic Pentecost? I'm thinking, why don't you get some real tongue talkers in there? They make it so weird. Like, they just had these foreign tongues come. And they'd make it look real if they just get some real tongue talkers in there. Just let them talk in tongues. There's people that stumble all over this. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." This is Holy Spirit language. He's speaking. He's telling these people a message through these people that don't have any clue what they're even saying. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my maidservants, handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come." How many solar eclipses have we had? Since what, 2014 or whenever it was when all these started? Prophesied in Joel. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what was this empowerment for? What was the first thing they did? Took the gospel. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did they testify, he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. Here a little bit later in the book, you see 5,000 souls. Kind of after they get thrown in jail for healing the man at the gate, another 5,000 souls are added. This is what this power is about. All right. The book of Acts is considered the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It really is. It's what he did, the miracles he did, by people that were willing vessels to obey what the Lord told them to do, be endued with power from on high. What did he give them before that? He said, take this commission into all the world, every creature. There it is. All right. Jesus was very clear about this. All right, I'm going to read a few more scriptures. What are we doing on time? We got a little bit. I may not be doing this until Wednesday night. So anyway, John chapter 4. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit before he went. It's important to, when people get born again, to speak to them about the second experience. Yeah. All right, John 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, This is the woman at the well. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I don't know if you have been hearing this, but I've been seeing things. They're talking about living water, about actual living water. And how that's, you know, what God made for us was living water. You know, I'm going, but this is Holy Ghost living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. He's showing her some water right now. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So that living water come up out of Jesus. Wisdom. Word of wisdom. Well, it wasn't wisdom. Knowledge. Word of knowledge. Told her past and her present. Convinced her. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, this old natural temple worship is passing away. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever extra, and not even worship God at all. This is inside. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay. John chapter 7. Going to a church is not worship. Singing a few songs and hopping around is not worship. Well, I lost the whole crowd today. If I was in a big thing, I'd probably lose them all. Oh, God, we've been so brainwashed in this system. But we're going to come out of it. All right, John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5. This is essential, y'all, to being a Christian. Christians that don't have it, it's like they got half the enchilada and didn't get the rest. It's a complete, it's both experiences really is salvation. All right, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All about the inside, not about the outside. All right, go back to Acts 9:17. Just showing y'all some places where this is going on. When we think about what we have inside, how can we get down on the outside? It's because we're not looking inside. There's where our worship is. There's the temple of the Holy Ghost inside of us. We're not probably going to be fulfilled by anything in the natural anyway. We're too far gone. This world holds no light for us. You can have everything, the best of everything. That will not bring you happiness. This, the joy of the Lord, is my strength and stronghold. That's what got this world in trouble. All right, looking for the natural things of this world to do it. It doesn't do it. All right, this is Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, this is Paul, or Saul, when he was blind, still, on the road to Damascus. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So to be a fivefold minister, you're going to have the Holy Ghost, because you can't do it without it. And in Paul's call, I mean, look at what Paul went through. All right. And that isn't just Paul, us too. Okay, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit before he was trained for his apostolic ministry. Shortly after that, chapter 13, they were sent out. But Paul really was led to Antioch, and he was trained kind of on the backside of the desert, away from everybody. He went up to see Peter for a short time, but he didn't consult any of the other apostles. God oversaw his training like Jesus' training. Jesus didn't go to the synagogue and was trained of the rabbis. Paul wasn't either. And I wished I hadn't had any training from anybody other than the Holy Ghost. If I'd have been listening, I probably would have never, ever submitted myself to it. But we didn't know. What you don't know, you don't know. Thank God, he's shown us a better way. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, he will help us to teach a whole church that way. Okay. Acts. I already did Acts 1. Well, we won't do, I just read 1. Okay. Let's go to Acts 4. All right, 4, let's start with verse 1 there. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is after the guy got healed. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that there were rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," what a cut, "whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Boy. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can they say that about us? That we have been with Jesus? I'm telling you what, you talk about cut. Keep going here, John 7. No, wait a minute. The rest of that, I had verse 31 down. All right. Verse 31 of the same chapter. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's the kind of thing that only with the anointing. Like I've said before, I've talked about someone that used to be our pastor's wife and another lady. I've never in my life ever seen anyone that was so gifted in getting people born again. Then no matter where they were, God gave them just the right thing to get them born again, just like that. Bam, bam, bam. That's by the Holy Ghost. That isn't something you naturally learn. You know, you go to these seminars, try to learn how to win people to Jesus. It never did work out, did it? But I tell you what, supernaturally led by the Spirit, and the Spirit gives you the words to say, yeah, that's how it's done, all of it. All right, let's keep going. Acting like Jesus. Even the deacons were filled with the Holy Ghost. Even the deacons. All right, Acts chapter 6. There's so much in the book of Acts about it. All right, 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They didn't even send out, a deacon's make is a servant. You know, the deacon's one that ushers you to your pew, and if somebody gets sick, they clean up the mess. That's a deacon. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost and power. Here, Holy Ghost and wisdom is what it says, wisdom. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. It's not just the ministers that need to be filled, it's these people just doing the service to the people. You need it for everything, your daily life, just to make it through your daily life. No wonder they turned the world upside down. They did. I will say this, not upside down, right side up. Because we're a world upside down. When they start being able to say, they've been with Jesus. 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. The world's being turned right side up. This is the Great Commission. This is infiltration. All right, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost and hearing God's plan, we will see our world turn right side up also. That's a given. It can't help but happen. He said, Behold, I give unto you power, not to be a punching bag, but to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I think we've forgotten a little bit about what we really have on the inside of us. All right, Acts 7, 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, this is Stephen, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He wasn't sitting down. He ain't sitting down with what you're going through either. He's standing up. That's one of mine. That's how he looks at you. Thank you, Lord. That's how he looks at us. We ain't no second-rate citizen here. He hadn't forgotten us, and he isn't going to. To forget us is to forget himself. You know what I mean? As he is, so are we. Wednesday evening, the Lord talked to us about being fishers of men. He also spoke with us about our character, how we treat people. Here are the attributes of the Holy Spirit and of the fruit of the Spirit, which we've read many times, but we're going to read it again. This is Galatians chapter 5. You're not going to win people with vinegar. You're going to have to hook up with them somewhere where they is a sore spot with them, not in a bad way, in a way that ministers to that sore spot. That's what I mean by looking for an opportunity to hook up with them over maybe an experience you've had that was like what they're going through, something like that. All right, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So, the fruit of the Spirit, these attributes are going to shine through, and people will see you and they'll be able to say about you, hey, they've been with Jesus. They're not, we're falling apart over here, and they're not. Excuse me. Right. So how we act in our demeanor, the fruit of the Spirit, is what makes it appealing. Like, you know, I spoke on Wednesday night. If we are finger pointing and criticizing, we're not going to win anybody that way. Because really, the Great Commission is the greatest gift that God has ever given His Son Jesus for salvation, for life with Him for eternity. We're offering them the greatest gift that they'll ever receive in their whole life. Do you do that with vinegar? No. So we're not looking, like I said, we're not looking to clean the fish first. We're looking to get them to come into the fold. Lure them in with some goodness of God. Like I said, healing is God's calling card. Jesus went about healing all that were sick. So that's what we're to do. A lot of people have somebody in their family that's going through something that you can pray with them about. Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. The Holy Spirit brings unity because we're all the body of Christ. Right here, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, the Holy Spirit's not, it's not a selfish. It's just what part you play to be a part of the whole. Your part in being Jesus to the world. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would this hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as he hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, Don't you appreciate the different parts of your body and what they do? Well, that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to be. It's not to be jealous of one another. Or like Paul said, comparing yourselves with one another, which isn't wise. But you're operating in what God has given you to operate in, and it's for the, I hate to say the word greater good, but it's for the whole, the flow of the body. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. There's no competition. It's a team effort. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. All right, chapter 13 talks about love. Learning to mature in this gift. Or right here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So when we get ourselves first and begin to look at our this and our that instead of the whole. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And I like this part. When I was a child, Paul said, verse 11, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even also, as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So when the body of Christ gets over their selves and quit competing with themselves, knocking each other out, and just unifying and just doing, getting in their lane and doing it, then we're going to start seeing those 3,000 saved in a day and 5,000 saved in a day. Kind of like the one band, one sound concept. Yeah, where we go, one we go all. That's literally what it means. All right, the Holy Spirit brings unity, not division. I think if God, it kind of indicates in the Scripture, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. All right, this is Romans 8. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Like I said, when you're born again, you get the Holy Spirit. But you don't get the empowerment for what you need ahead, for ministry. Jesus is no longer among us, but His Spirit is. And He acts on His behalf. You could say He took its place until He returns. Okay, we're going to read a few more and we're going to be done. I know y'all are probably getting tired. All right, Jesus is our high priest, Hebrews. This is what He's doing for us. The Holy Spirit is here with us. Jesus is high priest. Hebrews 7:11. Let's see what time it is. Okay. All right, verse 11 there. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. In other words, he wasn't Levite. He sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he that testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. So he's our high priest in heaven. All right, verse 1 and 2 of 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. I thought, that's cool. Not man. Yeah. All right, go to 9. Starting with verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Went from a natural temple to a spiritual one. All right, Acts 10:38, how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We must follow in his footsteps. That's what the disciples did. They were given power from on high through the Holy Ghost, so are we. In the Old Testament, they had the Spirit upon them. In the New Testament, we have it within us. All right, Colossians 1. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm going to stop right there. I have a few more scriptures, but I think y'all get the point. All right.